running out empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
Wednesday afternoon, 12:30, Kev. It means it's time to get ready for those phone calls here, 395-1450, and the phone lines are open. And we'd be happy to take your calls and take them onto the air here and see if we can't help you out with questions about your computer or just technology in general, if you'd like.
That's right. You can always send us an email as well. It's computerguys@whtc.com. We'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you have access to email, go ahead. Again, it's computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right, Kev. I've got an interesting, it's sort of travel tips. If you're traveling around this year, driving, flying, using your laptop on the go, some tips for extending your laptop's battery life. I think it was maybe a week or two ago, I had mentioned that we'd be talking about this, and we ran out of time.
I don't think we got to it last week.
I don't think we did.
I think it was last week, yeah.
It happened to many a traveler. You're on board a flight from, say, New York to L.A., and with plans to finish a stack of work along the way. After all, an airplane is often a great place to be productive, thanks to the absence of nagging colleagues, email, and ringing phones. Except you're barely over Minnesota, and your computer warns you that it's about to hibernate.
Not a good
As your
feeling.
Battery power is hovering somewhere around just 5%. Now, how exactly do you plan to finish that sales report before you land? So we've got five different tips here, or ways of extending your laptop's battery life, because I think we've all been there. The battery goes dead before you're ready for it. The first option is to turn down the brightness of your computer screen a great deal, as it will help preserve the battery life.
That's right, and often on planes, it's kind of dim anyway, so you can turn that down. And again, you know, it can only go so low. Sometimes people get, you know, their eyes hurt or something when it gets too low. So, of course, you don't want to go that far. But if you, there's a little counter, and if you hold your mouse over that or double click on it, it tells you approximately how much time you have remaining.
Right.
If you set your computer, you know, your brightness as high as it goes, you know, you can look at that. And then you turn it down all the way and give that timer a couple seconds to recalibrate. You'll notice sometimes 45 minutes to an hour of difference in battery life
if you
by dropping your
that.
Brightness
yep.
all the way. So it does make a big difference.
So that's the first option there. And then a lot of times, usually can be found on your laptop's secondary keyboard commands. Those little blue icons, usually they're blue. A lot of times they look like little suns on the screen. That's a great way to turn that down. Second option is to eject any disks that you are currently not using.
Exactly. That would be, you know, in your CD-ROM, if you've got any disks in there, and your computer at random will spin it up and kind of just verify what's there or anytime.
Or, for instance, like if you're listening to a CD, you know, that's going to use more of the battery as well. Also, make sure you have no devices plugged into the laptop that could be draining its power, such as a webcam, USB thumb drive, or a wireless PC card.
All of those will take a little bit of power.
A lot of times you forget about those, but they do add up. Windows users can also click on the power options in the control panel to manually reduce the power consumption of the laptop.
Yeah, there's lots of different options, especially in Vista. It gives you access to many more options than it did in XP as far as ways to save power, because, you know, battery life is becoming so important for people.
Yep, absolutely. And then, the last option is probably not the cheapest option. It's something to certainly consider. Better battery than the one that shipped with the computer.
Yep. Better battery, couple different ways to go there. The first one is, you know, the battery wears out over time. So when you bought your laptop, you may have had 3 hours of battery life. Now you're finding maybe a little over an hour. Replacing it with the exact same one. Or if your computer only shipped with a standard battery, often there is a high capacity battery available. They throw a couple extra cells in there. Gives it a longer runtime, typically about an extra hour at max. So sometimes that's an option. When you go to replace your battery, you've got your standard option. Then usually for, you know, anywhere from $25 to $50 more, you can go with a high capacity.
Yep, definitely some good options there. So 6 or 9 cell, depending on what type of brand of computer you've got. So just some options. If you've got any questions about your computer, maybe your computer is slightly different than what we were just talking about there, give us a call, 395-1450. Also email computerguys@whtc.com. Kev, got any interesting articles this week? There's always something new. You never quite know.
Well, there's, in the gaming world, new Need for Speed. This is a couple weeks old, but the new Need for Speed Undercover has come out recently. Basically, it's a game by Electronic Arts. Lets you buy and customize nearly 60 vehicles like the Mercedes-Benz SL65 AMG, the Audi R8, and yet to be released 2009 Nissan 370Z. Basically, yeah, it's a great game. You get to go undercover and prove yourself by running a bunch of errands. Sounds like fun. I would like to play this. Xbox 360. It's available.
There you go.
Please take note. Thank you.
Yeah. Could definitely go with that one.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Digital photos, Kev, now can give away cameras make and model.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't know that was a new thing. I thought that was old. Because often you'll go, and if you look at the properties of a photo, it'll actually tell you the make and model of the camera that took it, the resolution it was set at, and everything, more than just the file size. So, yeah.
Well, according to this article here, engineers have actually discovered that digital snaps will actually show in the metadata of the picture that reveal the make and model of that camera.
Yeah, and I think it's in certain types of software, like I think the Canon software, if you look at the properties in that Canon software, as you're scrolling through your pictures, you can see, oh, this one was taken with an Olympus. Oh, this one was taken with a Canon S2 or whatever. It is pretty interesting. It's all stamped right there on the file information.
So that would definitely have to do with, for instance, any type of forensics or any type of crime scene investigation. Definitely something to consider as well. So if you're trying to hide your crimes, you might want to
borrow your friend's camera.
Exactly.
That's right. Hey, Dave, can I borrow your camera this weekend? As I go commit some crimes. Oh, man. Let's see. What else here? The Zune Digital Music Store. It's finders keepers for some customers of the Zune Digital Music Store. Microsoft is offering users the chance to keep 10 songs per month as part of their monthly subscription fee. Currently, users of the Zune Marketplace pay. Are you a member of that, Dave?
I have an account, Kev, but I don't necessarily purchase any music from there. Okay. We've just been ripping.
So you're not paying it.
Well, correct. Yeah, we don't pay any type of
$14.99 a month for all the music they want to listen to. So it's another subscription-based one. Anything that's a part of their music store, you can listen to. But they can only listen as long as they remain members of the site. Once the monthly payments stop, so does the ability to listen to the music, unless the songs are purchased for an additional fee. Under the terms of the new Zune Pass, subscribers can still buy individual songs, and the service will keep track of how many freebies users will get each month. The Zune is a distant cousin in sales and popularity to Apple's iPod line. Apple holds 71% of the MP3 player sales in the markets so far this year. Microsoft has 3%. Wow, 3%. Those numbers look like the reverse of some numbers that we'd seen not too long ago.
Of when it used to be computers. It's definitely...
That is changing.
What about... we've got... 3% of the Zune, but it's definitely, it's my wife and I got one. And you know what, Kev? I got to say, I really like it.
Yep.
It's got the wireless sync built right into it. So we've got it hooked right up to the stereo. It's got all of our music and podcasts and everything else on there. So it's nice. It's got a clear screen, although we really don't watch videos on there much.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's more about it was a large capacity and I didn't have to use iTunes. That's really what it came down to for me.
And for people who sometimes are a little more technical and want a little more control, the fact that you have to stick with iTunes there are other ways, but for practical purposes, it's just not a real flexible music player. Doesn't give you access to everything that you'd like to be able to do. Works great for what it does, but there are limitations. So
we've got some spam here, Kevin, the computer guys at WHDC.com.
Did we win anything?
I don't know. Let's take a look here. The subject on the first one is Mr. Ming Yang.
Okay.
I would only assume.
Is that addressed to Mr. Ming Yang?
They have an obscure business suggestion.
Okay.
So we need to contact them.
Oh, okay. So we can't just read it here.
No, unfortunately not. So that's, Kev, I was talking to somebody that, who was experiencing 1,000 junk mails a day.
That's massive.
That you had actually helped them out, and they said to me, they started out and said, we only get 250 a day now.
Phew.
And, well, you helped them recently get it down to at least 250. And at first I thought they were going to be upset because it was still, and they said they were just amazed at how much less junk mail they get now.
That's unreal. That's still a ton of junk mail. Time to turn that filter up.
Yeah.
Often junk mail programs have the ability to turn that filter up. And yeah, it's $250. That's still a lot.
Yeah.
I remember when I was getting 60 or 70, got a little annoying.
You know, since we've made some changes with our server, I think I now get about less than five.
That come into your junk mail?
No. They actually get into the inbox.
Inbox?
Less than five. I would say closer to two or three a day.
I'm probably at about two or three.
Which is amazing.
Yep. And even in the junk mail, I'm probably only get less than 10. So most of it's getting bounced back, which is really nice.
Definitely a huge thing. So
there's when you've got your own mail server, you can control what comes in a lot more easily. So,
well, Kev, this is sort of a futuristic thing that probably you're not going to see for Christmas 2008.
I like the future.
Maybe in the future. This is actually something that's being developed for military uses. A grenade-style wireless camera called the Eyeball is being designed by a Scotland-based firm to give troops a better view of what lies ahead of them. Through the Ministry of Defense's 2007 competition of ideas, the new technology developed by DreamPact could be a life-saving tool for soldiers. The Eyeball is a portable wireless projectile camera that allows soldiers to view an area before they move in using real-time video with a 360-degree view. It can be thrown into a room or sent flying using a grenade launcher, offering images during flight and after it lands.
Wow. That thing's got to be pretty resilient if you use a grenade launcher.
Yeah. It will be able to operate in temperatures below 32 degrees Celsius and over 44 degrees Celsius, making it versatile enough to be used on tanks or on unmanned UAVs.
Wow.
Now, this was actually, Kevin, a movie that I saw not too long ago.
The Eyeball?
A futuristic where they had something similar to this using webcam technology. Now, I don't know what the point of having one of those for home use would be, but you never know. They do have wireless cameras, which actually, I've often thought it would be kind of fun to have one of those. A lot of times people use it for security, where you can actually set up a webcam at your house that you can log into securely to figure out what's going on. And I often wanted to know, what does a dog do during the day?
Did you set it up?
I tried to, but my webcam wasn't compatible with Vista.
Oh,
Logitech told me to buy a new one, so I didn't. But, it sort of goes along with
that. But you can only watch wherever the dog is. Is the dog in a confined space during the day?
No, wanders aimlessly, probably. So I don't know. Maybe he's sitting in a lazy boy chair watching TV. You don't know.
Maybe he
had a webcam. But obviously that one's a little bit different. But it's interesting use of webcams. How long have they been around? 10 years?
Nah, probably a little more than that. 10, 12 years.
10, 12 years.
Yeah.
It's definitely a nice thing. One of the great things is on laptops or some even new desktop monitors are coming with webcams built right in.
Yep. So then it's not...
Not always the greatest quality.
No, they're getting better. The megapixel rating's going up, which is kind of how that's all classified. So, but yeah, one thing I found with some of those is they don't meter the light very well as much as the external
ones. Yeah, that's definitely
true. So it gets kind of washed out from time to time. So if you really want good quality, you might want to go with an external. But it's fun nonetheless.
This is an odd spam to get here.
Mm-hmm.
For banners. A banner stand. How would computer guys end up getting that particular spam?
For all our computer guys' banners? Have you not seen those?
I haven't.
Maybe because we don't have stands. I've been hanging them. Well, that's probably why. I've wondered what to do with them. Just been hanging them on the wall. So
must be in your office.
Now that we've got some stands, that'll be helpful. Hey, this is kind of interesting. Free Dr. Pepper? Want a free bottle of Dr. Pepper? You can hook yourself up with one on... this is a little out of date. This was good for whatever that would have been, Sunday, November 23rd. Guns N' Roses was doing a promotion. They said...
Oh, that's right. I heard about
that. Give everybody a free bottle of pop to everyone in America if the album Chinese Democracy dropped in 2008. The album goes on sale Sunday. This would have been the 23rd of November. And Dr. Pepper is making good on the promise. The album has been in the works since 1994. So, yeah, whenever Dr. Pepper said that, they probably thought, they're never going to get this thing out.
And you could, Kev, visit that website on the Internet Explorer 8 beta that is out.
Oh.
Have you heard anything about the new Internet Explorer?
I haven't heard a whole lot about it.
Well, there is a beta out, though I don't necessarily recommend installing it just yet.
Unless you have a spare computer that, right, in case it causes a problem.
Exactly. You never know.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's been delayed at least until 2009. Microsoft confirmed that Internet Explorer 8 will not be officially released until 2009, according to a blog posting on the Internet Explorer 8 development site. A release candidate of the browser, actually, I guess it's probably not in a beta. There is a version of Internet Explorer 8 that you can download.
Yep.
But, which is sort of goes along with the fact that Google, who has their own internet browser, which is trying to compete with Internet Explorer, is now going to be bundled with some new computers, which is definitely, that's one of the things is that new computers, you go out.
Did it say who's going to be doing that?
Well, funny you should ask, Kev.
I'm interested.
I do have a second article here. In an effort to take on Internet Explorer and make strong headway in its share of the browser market, Google is taking a page out of Microsoft playbook and working on deals with PC OEMs to include Chrome in their devices. Google's likely to pursue deals with some of the major original equipment manufacturers to put Chrome on their computers and devices. So the question is, if Mozilla could get aggressive about this too, we could see Internet Explorer facing more serious competition than ever. So, let's take a look here. Some of the companies, Microsoft wooed Dell, Compaq, HP, Gateway, Acer, and others into making their default choice of internet browser, Internet Explorer. So it does not, we don't know yet who Google is trying to go after. But you got to wonder.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
I need to download another. I don't know if they've made some changes, but that first time I downloaded, it was shortly after it came out. I was majorly not impressed.
Well, I think
it was just so doggone slow.
That's always been my complaint with Google products other than the Google toolbar.
That
most people might use.
Yeah.
The Google toolbar was fine. It had a great pop-up blocker long before most computers did. However, Google Desktop, man, even on a fast computer, it can slow things down a little bit, especially if you've got a slow computer. Obviously, they've got a ton of applications, so I can't talk about all of them. But
yep.
Google Chrome was not your favorite browser, okay?
It was not my favorite, and I gave it a good shot. I used it for a couple of days, and it was just a little too slow for me. So
well, you
I
know,
had
the,
to go back.
The Google's approach to something like this is that they want, they're with things like Google Docs or Google Apps, that type of thing. Basically, they're trying to make it so that it doesn't matter if you're using Windows or Apple or whatever. Basically, they're trying to get you to install their browser. So it's like its own little operating system right on the computer itself so that you'll be able to use some of the applications built right into different websites. Right now we think of, if you want to run a program, you've got to open up Microsoft Word. Google's hope is that in the future you won't open that program. Rather, you would go to their site using their browser.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can start to get your new Dell or Hewlett Packard or Gateway or whatever to include that browser, then maybe people would...
Just one step closer to the Google universe.
That's right.
It's really their end goal. We all know that.
That's right.
They just need to call it like it is.
Domination.
Mm-hmm.
Global
That's
domination.
Right. Global domination. The world at their fingertips. So the cost of the 12 Days of Christmas has been evaluated again this year. It had better be true love because it is... any guesses, Dave?
The cost of what?
The 12 Days of Christmas.
What's the 12 days?
You know the song, the 12 Days of Christmas. On the first day.
I didn't even know what
day,
they all are.
On the third... Okay.
Partridge? No. I don't even know what
a partridge in a pear tree. Yeah.
What's a partridge? Is it a bird?
Yes.
I don't know how I knew that.
You got some 5 golden rings, ladies dancing.
$1 million.
Oh, that's pricey. Well, this year it's evaluated at $86,609. PNC Wealth Management has calculated the cost of all the gifts mentioned in the 12 Days of Christmas, and the price is up again this year. Nearly 11% more, to be exact. Details of what costs are posted on the firm's website. One bit of advice PNC is giving for this year, be patient. The company says with the recession and energy prices falling, prices could fall further between now and Christmas. If you want to check that out, it is PNCChristmasPriceIndex.com. So I'm actually kind of interested. I want to see what cost they assign to that site for you later. Isn't there some drummers drumming? Like the cost of drummers drumming?
Speaking of the cost of Christmas, though, Kev, right now the cost of new computers... they're not giving them away.
Nope.
But they might as well be.
Yeah, and again, we're talking a lot of the lower end ones. Those are
not
the ones
even.
That, Well, I mean, everything's dropped down.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I've, you know, we sell Dells and the prices recently, it doesn't matter if it's Dell, HP, well, Apple, I don't think really has discounted theirs too much. But
they knocked $100 off on some
laptops. Yeah, but I mean, on some of these, I mean, they are, it is a great time if you're looking to get a new one. It is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
The prices, I mean, I don't know how they could continue it past Christmas and stay in business.
Yeah.
But for instance, I mean, whether it's the starting point of a computer or how much they're discounting it right now, it is a great time. You know, had one just yesterday, 3 months ago, $1,200. Now, $900. I mean, we're talking a fully loaded, well-equipped, nice computer.
And this is the time where it's like you can get that entry-level computer because that dropped even further and spend less money. But again, probably going to be a little less satisfied than, you know, spending maybe what you would have spent 2 months ago, but getting so much more computer.
Yeah.
So
it's almost a race to the bottom, but I can't understand how they could possibly continue it on.
I mean, they're just, we'll see.
It's just, so if you're out there looking at laptops, desktop, it's a
good time. Quite to buy.
So I laugh and I just think, man, prices have come down so much. It's something to think about. But if you're out there listening and you have any questions here for the computer guys, give us a call, 395-1450. We'd be happy to help you out. Kev, last week you and I were talking to a caller about a bad video card.
Yep.
They actually called the office and...
Sure.
It was an ATI, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I got talking. You actually had an ATI video card go bad, and so did I.
Yep. I checked my warranty, and ATI used to have a killer warranty. It was like 5 years or something. And so it was the first time I had a card. It lasted me probably 4 years, and then it went bad or something.
Hmm.
And then this time I checked, and the warranty was like a year. I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
So then I got a new card, and it's got a lifetime warranty. So,
well, you know, that's something to consider. Lifetime warranty?
Lifetime warranty. Now, they're factoring, okay, the card wasn't very expensive to begin with. It was a crazy good price. And then they're figuring, well, hey, by the time somebody needs to cash one of these things in, it's going to be worth even less. Sure, we'll put the lifetime warranty on there. So,
well, that's true.
It was a pretty sweet deal.
But, no, it's interesting that you and I both had video cards go bad.
Yeah.
That's one of those parts of a computer that doesn't seem to go bad that often.
No, and I would say that's changing because now, you know, they need active cooling systems, the fans on those, and those fans, you know, they're small fans, and if they get plugged up with dust or anything like that and they stop working, that card will just cook itself. So, you know, in the past, it was just, you know, it had a heat sink on it and no parts moving and nothing to worry about or maintain, but now they do so much more with how 3D, you know, Vista is and all the other applications and gaming that people do. They work a lot harder, and so they need extra fans on there.
You playing any good 3D games these days, Kev?
Well, I just to test it out, I was playing Battlefield 2 for a little bit, and it was sweet because I could...
Battlefield 2, really?
Yeah, and I could crank up the resolution as high as I wanted, and it ran really well, so that was kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hey, Kev, one other good one here. We've got... talking about the Google Chrome browser and how they're trying to get you to sort of think of your browser is your computer as much as the programs on it.
Yep.
The iPhone has definitely changed the way I think a lot of people think of cell phones or MP3 players.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That integration.
You know, I mean, you see these commercials on TV and they're playing games and they're doing all kinds of stuff. It's a little computer built right in your pocket.
Like we talked about last week, sometimes it might not be quite as fast.
It's not quite as fast. You know, we can't argue that. But it does give you real-time internet access.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
assuming you have a signal.
Kev, this might be an application that, assuming that, I'm not passing any judgment, but maybe you would like this one.
Oh,
there's a new iPhone app that helps drivers beat speed traps.
Oh, I like that.
Now, there are plenty of websites out there that do tell you, you know, where speed traps are, but what good does that do you if you're out on the road?
You want an active one that tells you, uh-oh, it's coming.
Two applications, N-Mobile and Trapster, are providing drivers with up-to-date maps of speed enforcement zones with live police traps, speed cameras, or red light cameras.
Interesting.
So you can be cruising down the road and seeing where you are, seeing if there's any speed traps coming up.
Now, does it have an audible alert when you're approaching one? Because that's what I'm looking for.
Well, each application pulls up a map pinpointing the locations of speed traps within driving distance, and an audio alert
Look at that.
Will sound as vehicles approach an area tagged as harboring a speed trap.
Oh, this is great. What a practical application.
We got to give Car Talk a call on this one.
Yeah, there we go.
Both applications rely on the wisdom of crowds or users for their data for reporting camera-rigged stoplights in areas heavily populated with radar-toting police officers via the iPhone or their web-based application.
That's interesting because I'd like to see, and I thought about that. So how easy is it to report that there is one present there? If it's as easy as like in the application, bam, you hit a button and it logs that position and uploads it to their server, that'd be great. But well, if you have to sit down and input a bunch of data, people are going to be less likely to do that.
Probably. But Trapster currently enlists a community of nearly 200,000 members.
Wow, it's pretty good.
And then they actually go through and they're able to enter the accuracy. But, you know, that sort of goes along with another great site, Gas Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that works is people
put it in.
General
public. And I thank goodness that people do that because I don't think that I've done that and probably won't, but I enjoy using those services. So I'm just thankful there's people out there that do enjoy inputting that data.
Absolutely. Just like on any type of site, whether you're looking up computers or anything else, there's always people who put in reviews and everything else. I've never done that.
Now, some of those sites, you know, they reward your experience. Like, you know, there's sites out there where you're awarded points for inputting information or for solving somebody else's problem. What those points are good for, that varies from site to site. But, you know, that's an incentive. And the points go with, like,
really?
A rating. Like, if you get more points, you're considered an expert. And for some people, that really floats their boat. And so they'll answer those questions to become the expert. So it is interesting how those work, and I'm glad there are people.
The last thing of this article here, Kev, which is kind of a funny thing, because you would think that people would use this iPhone speed trap application to speed wherever they want.
Yep.
But N-Mobile founder Shannon Atkinson declined to provide detailed data of their members or of, you know, the different things, but over 1,000 users, and this is as of a week or so ago, had already downloaded the application.
Mm-hmm.
The company insists they've received only positive feedback from law enforcement officials and police officers regarding their products. If the application gets people to slow down, I think it's generally considered to be a good thing.
You know, what's funny about that is they probably, and I don't know on the software side of it, but like on a GPS, if you have one, and you're in the car and you're driving, the GPS can tell you how fast you're going. Now, what they could do is they could actually see how fast those users are going if they wanted to and if that were part of the software package. So they could probably tell you the effect of running this software, whether people are speeding that use it or not. So, but that's for that company to know and for us not to. So,
one more reason, Kev, for you to get your iPhone or maybe to not get your iPhone.
Well, speaking of the iPhone, the rumor out there about the $99 iPhone at Walmart, have you heard that?
I have not.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there's a rumor going around this week. Let's see. Looks like another independent retail chain will start selling the iPhone. Insiders at Walmart are leaking to the news that the chain will begin selling the popular Apple communication, music, video, gaming device. And these sales may start as early as this week. Sources speaking to the AP, but asking that their names not be disclosed. The source backs up a report in the San Jose Mercury News this past Friday that employees at Walmart said the phones would be on sale by the last week in December and just possibly before Christmas. Walmart would be the second independent retail chain after Best Buy to sell the phone. They can also be purchased at Apple and at the AT&T stores. And part of the rumor is that it's only going to be $99. And it may be a slightly stripped-down version, maybe a little less memory. But a lot of people who are in the news and who know this stuff say that's never going to happen. So we don't know whether there will be a $99 iPhone or how that will work. AT&T probably doesn't care at this point in time because it's just more business for them.
Yeah.
But Apple, a lot of people say, would never do that. Time will tell.
Yeah, and Kev, it's just about time for a new iPhone, isn't it? Or an update?
Oh, you want an iPhone?
No. I'm saying an update to...
Oh, and now, yeah, what's it been? 3 weeks? About time for a new iPhone. That adds one feature and they charge like another $200 and tell everybody they need to buy it, so...
That's just the Apple way.
That's the fun of technology.
Just the Apple way. That's right.
The fun of technology.
Happens, we'll tell you about it. Anyways, that music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in or you just want to pass this along to a friend, you can always check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that is type WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store. And you can listen to us on the go or pass this along to your friends. If we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of 32nd and 31.
Well, thanks again, and have a great week.